You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Hello and welcome to Section 31, episode number 127. I am Rogue Schindler. I'm going to bring you some tournament reports from a series that we've been talking about already, and I have a captive to discuss some upcoming design. Dan Hammond is swamped. He has infiltrated, taken over briefly the duties helping out with the 1E design team, in no way representing Section 31 interests except in whatever way he sees fit. In the meantime, we've got a report from Mike Oshogi. He's been sending us reports over the course of his local Return to Farpoint series. They had a tournament in August, which, as we've mentioned before, the tournament series started with Premier, Tui, and has added a new set with each passing tournament. This tournament in August added the To Boldly Go and Dangerous Mission sets, with some really good additions of Bajoran cards, turns out that their final was all Bajoran. Ben Paulson pulled out the victory, so congratulations to Ben. For October, they had the addition of Captain's Log, which adds, of course, a whole new affiliation to the playing ground. Unfortunately, only four people showed up, but that gave everybody a chance to play each other with a round robin, and Michael Van Bremen, with his cadet deck, was able to pull out an undefeated victory on the day. So congratulations to those guys. That sounds like a really cool idea. The 1E, they've started something similar going on online. This certainly picking up the trend. They also, if you recall from our reports, have been banning a card every quarter or so, quarter of the way through the sets. Up until now, Govall and Tragic Turn have been the two banned cards. After the next tournament, they're going to have another banned card. No promises, but it sounds like, from what Mike is seeing, it's probably going to be Issue of Trust, which I'm sure a lot of people would like to see have a few tournaments without that dilemma running around. They're going to have a raffle, of course. We've mentioned they've been doing raffles. You get raffle tickets for playing in every tournament, and a number of theme pack lots are going to be given away. These are the voyages, In a Mirror Darkly, What You Leave Behind for the big finale, some Genesis, an unopened Genesis collection, and some Dangerous Mission packs. So it sounds like they're moving right along. They're coming up on the tail end of what has been a pretty long journey. So we look forward to hearing how the tail end of those reports go, and seeing how things look when they transition into the virtual sets. So thanks, Mike, for that report. And now we have another report. This one not on a tournament, but I'm sure we've all been curious to hear how Project Silver, as it has been codenamed, is going. So, we have him just coming in from the waiting area, is the chairman himself, Charlie Plain. Charlie, thank you for joining us.
Yes, I am not Dan Hammond, but I'm here.
Now, it seems like we just had all the excitement of tacking into the wind, but it's been several months, and you are already hard at work on the plans for Project Silver?
Actually, it's pretty much done.
Pretty much done. Wow.
We sort of altered our design schedule a bit so that there is more time between the end of playtesting and release of an expansion. Also, it's been 3 months since Tekken came out.
It has.
And we're not talking about releasing Silver until probably around Christmas time. So it'll have been more than 4 months at that point, which is, you know, on pace. It just so happens that there's no major events in this back half of the calendar. So.
Yeah, I think a lot of us, certainly locally, took kind of a break after the hustle and the bustle of Worlds, and I still feel like I haven't used half of the cards in tacking that I want to try, and we're already talking about a new set.
Yeah, tacking is also was one of those toolbox sets, too, where there wasn't a lot of cards for one deck, other than the Cardassians. It's sort of, you know, a little bit for everybody.
That's true. There was a lot of different... You'd have to play a lot of different decks to really work those in, unless you played a lot of affiliations in one deck.
Yeah. I mean, you know, out here in... I think everybody knows, but I moved out to San Diego in May, and out here it's very much a premium to never play the same thing back-to-back. So... You know, I've managed to rotate in a lot of the attacking cards just playing different decks, but I feel like there's a lot of untapped potential in that expansion, but, you know, we don't want to not keep putting out cards, so...
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to playing a attacking-based deck this week when we play on Wednesday, so... Hopefully we can hear how poorly I do on our next episode.
Well, you know what's interesting, really, is with tacking and Silver both being out before regionals are going to start off. The 2012 regional season is going to be radically different than the 2011 season. I mean, it's not radically. There's only 108 different cards added, but you know, it'll shake things up. I know for a fact that Silver is going to shake things up a little bit. So.
Cool. Well, why don't you, since you, that was an excellent segue, do you have any examples that you can give us, vague or detailed, on how you think what aspects are going to get shaken up, or what specifically is going to really change as we move forward with Project Silver?
Sure. I want to touch on how we're changing our schedule a bit, too. We're building more time, more lead time into our development. So a lot of Silver was being developed even before Worlds. It's not to say that we can't change things, obviously, but like there's, you know, a lot of the post-Worlds analysis did get applied to Silver, but even more of that will have gotten applied to the next expansion after that, which ironically, I had a meeting about 3 hours ago. like we're finishing Silver now and we're already rolling on the next one. So and I'll be talking more about this in the next couple of weeks, but we're making a couple of paradigm shifts on our design team so that there's going to be different states of design, three expansions in different states of the design process going at a time. So
what it sounds like is you're really kind of not pushing back what's being done, but sort of the process is wow, I know what I'm thinking and I can't find the words to say it. I'm an excellent podcaster. The process is being elongated so that, you know, you have more time between design and playtest and release, it sounds like. And
it's partly. I mean, we're not spending more time doing any one thing, but we're being smarter about it, and we're you know, right now, Silver is being finished up. So, you know, Art's doing its final pass. We're doing the proofreading. We're building the spoiler schedules. I mean, it's probably going to be... We're probably going to release, you know, Resistance is Futile here in a couple weeks. And then right into the next one, you know, right into starting the 2E stuff. Because cool. I think the plan is to release it whatever the Friday before Christmas is. But that may change, so nobody quote me on that. But,
you heard it here first, everyone.
While that's going on, we're about ready to take the next expansion to testing. And while that's happening, the staff of the next expansion after that are already getting together and starting to work. So if you think of it as like there's really, you know, four phases. There's design, development, which overlaps testing, and then you know, post-release, you know, preparing for release. The goal is to have one expansion in all of those stages at all times.
Cool.
So that when one moves out, another one moves, you know, everybody advances so that we're rolling. You know, it's not to overproduce. We're not trying to make more cards per year.
But that way it gives you more time to work on each phase as things are working.
Yeah, and it also gives us that, you know, up until recently it's been literally, okay, we're pretty much done. Let's announce it on Friday. We're going to release it in 3 weeks. Everything needs to be done by then. Now it's more like, okay, this was pretty much done a month ago. Let's take our time testing it or proofreading it. And then when we're ready, we'll release it. So we kind of sit on it for a bit, which is good because it lets you come back to it and see a couple, you know, typos you would have otherwise missed. And,
sure.
And it lets you, you know, if there is a disaster, if playtesting on week 10 finds that, you know, this card and this card and this card don't work together, you can add 6 more weeks of testing and not really be behind on your schedule. So anyway, talking about Silver, it is another team expansion. It is essentially, you know, it was codenamed early as Allegiance 2.0. That expansion 2 years ago was the one that had Equinox and UBTOS and those guys, yeah. It was
vastly outnumbered.
Yes, it was sort of the modern reintroduction of the team concept. And every expansion since then has had a team, and teams proved, for the most part, to be very popular. So we decided fairly quickly on we would do another one, another team-based expansion, and when exactly wasn't set in stone, but when we were sitting down planning out what we wanted to do, it just seemed like this would seem like the right time to put out some more teams. And cool. That's what we're doing, and we're putting out teams for factions that don't have teams. So
was this, I'm assuming, what Dan mentioned a few episodes ago, you had posted a question to the chat room, was this pertaining to Silver, with the which teams would you rather see?
Oh, well, it was actually pertaining to the one after that.
Okay.
This one. Okay, so when we first sat down to do this one, we originally were going to do a cross between Allegiance and Raise the Stakes. So it was going to be a 90-card double-size team expansion. And we were going to do a team for everybody that didn't have one, plus a couple others, and then sort of, you know, I won't say bookend the team concept, but then maybe not necessarily commit to doing a team every time. And we stuck to that for a while, but eventually it became clear that some of the teams weren't as strong as others, and two of the teams were cut for completely different reasons. And then we were looking at, you know, just kind of padding out a 90-card set, and when we realized we really didn't need to make it 90 anymore, so it got cut to 54, so it's four new teams and a bunch of support cards for existing teams. And some of those cards that we cut were really, really good, and we can't wait to bring back in the future. But
it's always a shame when you lose a set that you know is good, but you just don't have room for. So it's always good to see those come back.
Yeah, when we cut all the extra teams out, we were left with about 61 or 62 cards, and it was a rough cut of about 10 to get down to 54. But, it was me and Brad and Chris Lobin,
mm-hmm.
and Tyler Fultz, who recently was announced as our new Rules Master. So it was a four-person design team. And we're pretty happy with it. We like where it is. So.
Cool. So, can you tell us how many teams we can expect to see?
Yeah. I'm going to open the file and double check, but I'm 99% sure that there are 4 new teams.
Cool. So
all
that's
4 factions that don't have them.
So that would match Allegiance.
I think Allegiance had 5.
Did it?
Deep Space Nine.
Deep Space Nine, Ferengi.
Starfleet, Ferengi, and Equinox.
Right.
But what we did in this one that we didn't do in Allegiance is there are new cards for just about every team. For example, there is a Bajoran Resistance guy. There is a AUTNG card.
Ooh.
Which they were a team. They were sort of predated modern teams, but they
did.
There is a Deep Space Nine personnel who triggers when your opponent commands an assault event. I see an Equinox personnel. I see a TOS personnel who costs 4 or more. So we filled in some gaps. I see a Starfleet personnel who is not human. I see a Mako. So I just spoiled a lot.
Yes.
There are cards in here for not every team that we've done so far, but many of the teams that we've done so far.
Well, and not only did you just spoil things that are in there, but that is kind of what Dan and I talked about last week. Those are all teams that exist, and thus, by exclusion, hinting at what affiliations might be getting teams that you know don't already have them. So,
yeah,
we can look at 4 affiliations that are looking to get teams that don't already have teams.
I'll tell you this: after this expansion comes out, depending on how liberal you are with the definition of team, there's only 3 affiliations or sub-affiliations that don't have one.
Interesting. So there are at least 7 now. I don't think I could name that.
I'll put some speculation to rest. One of the teams is Nathan Miracle's original Tulaberry Wine team from 2010.
For Dominion.
Which was originally pitched for Tacking Into the Wind, but got bumped to this one. So his whole team is in here. Yeah.
Cool, so there's one.
Yes, there's one of the 4. One of them will surprise people. You'll be like, you made a team for them? What? And I'm proud to report that your this card that I gave you last time to spoil is in the set.
Excellent.
Is in the set. So.
Good to keep the... I'm sure the speculative list folks will appreciate that.
Yes, so... But they'll also hate it because it's card number 1, so it tells them nothing.
The little pleasures of tormenting.
I'm pretty excited about it. We just picked the name for it. We're waiting on the final artwork. We just finished up our last proofreading pass, so one more final run through. We'll start loading the cards in the database. We'll get the artwork the pack art and stuff from the art team, and we're going to let Resistance is Futile have its day in the sun here, and then we'll jump right into spoilers from this one, but it's
excellent.
It's going to be I think it's going to be a really good set. There's some really fun stuff in here.
Okay, then I'm gonna. So now I'm gonna put you on the spot a little bit. Now
what else is new?
There's 4. So you mentioned there are 4 teams in this new set, and after that there will be 3 affiliations without teams.
Depending on how loose you are with your definition.
Sure. The caveats included. So, one of my questions, so part A, which is really a prologue question, is does non-aligned count as an affiliation?
Yes.
And B, and we know it's well documented that you are a proponent and have a place in your heart for the holograms, the hologram team. Is that something that we will get a peek at someday again?
Well, I think I'm on record as saying that we tried.
I know you mentioned you tried it before and it kind of fell apart, but I do not see you as one to let that stand in your way of taking it back to the drawing board and finding another way to get it
well,
to work.
No, it wouldn't. We don't throw anything away. I don't know. We originally put the Children of Light in Infinite Diversity because it seemed to really fit what we needed those people to do.
Definitely.
We tried to do the team in whatever came after that. I think it was Allegiance, actually. I don't remember the sequence. So it was one of these expansions. We're like, let's just finish the holograms, and it didn't work. So we cut them and tried something else, and you know, now we're doing another team-based expansion. So at least we would have tried it. I'm not going to confirm or deny whether they're in there, but I guarantee we would have tried to bring them back. So.
All right. Well, I will continue to play my half-assed hologram deck in hopes that it will gain assistance someday.
Someday.
Hey, you know what? It's fun already, so.
Well, I mean, we're going to spoil the teams on the first day, because that's what we do. So, I'll tell you this. One of the teams is the Dominion one, that's established. One of the teams is for an affiliation that, until you see the team, if I just say, we made a blank team, number of people will question my sanity. And the questions like, they're too good, why would you do that, will come up. One of the teams is blue. Yeah, I like to think about that.
Yeah.
And one of the teams only has 4 personnel. And it is entirely possible that all 4 of those are the same thing. Well, not the Dominion one, but those last 3 clues could have been the same team.
Any of those clues could apply to the
just
same team. They're not just all different. Cool.
So, I think that's all I'm willing to say at this point. I mean, you can send the mind sifters after me if you want. But
I will send the mind sifters after you because I think we need one more piece of information out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a full-fledged whole card spoiler.
A whole card spoiler, wow. I have a 1E spoiler for you, and you're going to make me badger me into giving you a 2E spoiler. Okay. Wow. What? Let's see. Fairly nondescript card I can spell for you. This is a mission. It is 25V19. It is a Gamma Quadrant planet mission, and it's worth 30 points. It is called. Okay, I shouldn't have picked this one because I can't pronounce this first word. I always do it wrong. Fulfill Temporal Paradox. That's the name of the mission. Do you know what episode that is?
Yeah, isn't that the where they go back into the like Children of Time?
Yes, exactly. The picture is awesome. It's a picture of this really beautiful planet with this shimmering temporal barrier around it. They called the planet Gaia. So the lore is Gaia. This settlement was founded by the crew of a Starfleet vessel that crashed on this planet 2 centuries ago. It's Span 2 Gamma Quadrant. It's astrometrics, honor, 2 science, and cunning greater than 35. Which is pretty steep. but the game text is each of your non-human personnel at this mission is attributes plus one.
Ah, interesting.
It has Bajoran, Federation, and Klingon icons on it. Which, if you recall the episode, were sort of the three factions that were involved in the story. So.
Right. Very cool. All right. Well, thank you very much, Charlie. That was an excellent sneak peek behind the curtain into how design is going in general and Project Silver in particular. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who is looking forward to opening that Christmas present.
I will give you one last clue. I'm pretty sure it's the shortest expansion name ever.
Really?
I cannot. I thought about it.
Shorter than Energize?
It is shorter than Energize. The name of this expansion is shorter than Energize.
Interesting.
So there you go. More soon.
More soon. All right. Well,
very, very soon.
We will look forward to that. So probably, I guess, if we hold with the usual timing, probably just a few weeks until the four-week countdown, spoiler countdown. Is that?
I would say within 10 days of Resistance is Futile hitting the streets, you'll know everything you'll need to know about this expansion.
So. Cool. All right. Well, speaking of Resistance and Futile, we have a spoiler for that as well on our Intel Wire. Charlie, if you'd like to stick around and talk about this one as well with me.
Sure.
It is a dilemma, a space dilemma, called Contingency Plan. It's got a... Now, is that Borg icon?
It is the Borg-only square icon. It's
very kind of rare on dilemmas, just actually that I can think of only happened in First Contact.
It's not the one with the thing popping out of its face, right?
Yeah, the Borg servo and was it undetected beam in?
Yes.
The text is, since it's space only, that makes sense, place on a ship. Cannot be attacked by Borg or returned to hand. So no doorway action. Opponent may download a change of plans. Assimilate starship targeting this ship is worth 35 points.
Yeah.
Interesting. So it doesn't stop anyone. It doesn't do anything to interrupt your mission attempt, but it does allow your opponent to very quickly reorient themselves onto interacting with you directly.
Pretty much. You know, if you lead this, if you lead off with this and throw something like Dead End or a stopper behind it,
yeah,
you can pretty much waltz right over and pulverize them.
Now, assimilate starship, you have to have a guy on their ship.
Oh, you're going to ask me questions about cards? I don't know.
I'm trying to remember. You have to have a guy on their ship.
It's in the brand new glossary, 1.9.
Yeah.
Plug, plug, plug.
So, right. Basically, they have to not fight you to get your guy off of their ship.
Let's see. Assimilate starship is plays on table, target an opponent's ship. Your Borg may scout that ship. Whenever no active board aboard targeting during your turn, you may beam one scout aboard. After scouting complete, if your Borg have computer skill aboard, you may probe. And it's blue and red to take the ship. And
so you don't have to get rid of all their people on their ship.
Mm-mm. You just have to have somebody
aboard.
You just
have to have somebody there. And that basically makes them have to decide whether they're going to keep doing what they're doing or try to get rid of you.
Yeah, and the real key there is they can't
they can't return their ship to get rid of you. You know,
right.
They can't pick it up or anything. So,
very cool. So
it gives you a bit of protection because they can't shoot at you.
Yeah.
But this you know pointless objective now suddenly becomes worth 35 points, and that's. Yeah.
I'm wondering what if it would be worth throwing a big wall in front of it, just to make sure you have a decent team on board before I go and do that, so you don't get by with me just targeting your little weenie ship. Although I suppose if you just go over there, it has the opposite effect. If you go and try to red shirt, ship shirt with it with your one guy, and I can suddenly target it, and you've got nobody there to attack me, then I get 35 points, easy peasy.
For nothing. Especially since the card hands me my change of plans. So.
Yeah. So a couple of different tactics available. That's a really interesting dilemma.
And it's outside the box.
Yeah.
Like
a dilemma slot to change your plans. That could be cool. So just to round things out, the lore is as their cube and then their sphere were destroyed, the Borg adapted to the changing situation, single-minded, implacably persistent. Referring, of course, to the Queen's ship and sphere trying to assimilate the Enterprise in First Contact.
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture here. It's two drones, mean mugging the camera. It's a bunch of... I think they're on the Enterprise, taking apart the panels and Borgifying.
And the collector's info is 2V. So there will be one dilemma before this. Or maybe an artifact.
Maybe.
If
I told you that 1V was a conversion...
Ah.
It's an artifact.
True. Excellent. Well, a lot of new cards and fun mechanics coming our way. Some teams for 2E, some Borg for 1E. As a recently assimilated 1E Borg player, I am definitely looking forward to Resistance is Futile. And for Thanksgiving. I'm going to celebrate Thanksgiving with the collective and then Christmas with some Tulaberry wine.
Sounds good. Sounds very good. I think you're going to really like that team, you personally, and a lot of people. And I showed it to Nathan a couple weeks ago, and he was like, my only thing I don't like about it is I can't play with it now. So.
Cool. Well, I'll definitely look forward to it. I think that's going to wrap up. I think we had a triple dose of intelligence this week, so we don't want to stretch things out too long. I want to thank Charlie once again for coming by. A couple of aspirin, and I'm sure that chemical hangover will go away shortly. Thanks for coming in and filling us in on what's going on.
Anytime.
All right, we're going to get the chairman on his way and call that the end of our intelligence for this week. As always, I am Sir Rogue, and on behalf of Sir Dan, I will thank Warp 11 for their theme song, as always, and remind you all to expand your power in the universe. And I'm also going to draw 127 card backs from my common stash and get ready to make some new virtual cards to end.